you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Welcome to The Diplomat, brought to you by Newsweek. I'm your host, Jason Greenblatt. With tensions rising across the world, diplomacy is needed perhaps now more than ever. During my time as former White House Middle East envoy and as one of the chief architects of peace between Israel and its Arab neighbors, I've had the chance to witness the power of diplomacy firsthand, and today I would like to share that perspective with you. Shalom, salam, and welcome to The Diplomat. Today, my guest is Ari Gargir, CEO and founder of Red Sea Biotech. Red Sea's mission is to manufacture universal red blood cells for transfusions and advanced therapies. They aim to create one blood type that can be used by almost any patient. If they're successful, this will reduce, maybe even eliminate the need for blood donors. It'll help drive down certain healthcare costs and save lives. Take a listen. I'm Jason Greenblatt. This is The Diplomat, brought to you by Newsweek. Really pleased to be here today with Ari Gargir. Ari Gargir founded Red Sea Biotech. Ari, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the right way to describe this is you have figured out a way, or you're trying to develop a way to print, 3D print, red blood cells. Is that right?
Well, I think we're not in the realm of printing, because red blood cells are carry oxygen as single cells in our body. But we are developing a process to produce, manufacture the red blood cells artificially in the lab or in a factory. So in order to give them for transfusions or for advanced therapy. So it's not exactly printing, but in a way, yeah.
Got it. And, you know, every time I read about or see a new invention, I'm excited. But this one, I don't know, just so unusually exciting. Let's start with why it's needed. It's probably obvious to many, but why don't we go over why you need to actually be successful at this, why the world needs this invention.
Right. I think there are very few people who themselves or family members or people that they know received blood transfusions, because blood transfusions, and specifically we're dealing with red blood cells, red blood cells carry oxygen in our body and they remove carbon dioxide, and they're essential in many, many medical interventions from people that suffer from trauma and accidents and different injuries, women that lose blood in childbirth, people that go in surgeries. And there are many, many people around the world that suffer from blood disorders like sickle cell anemia or thalassemia, which are dependent on blood transfusions in order to survive. And then, of course, there are also cancer patients that either lost their ability to produce blood cells because of their cancer, or because of their treatment have had impaired blood production. So these millions and millions of people around the world require blood for therapy. Above that, there are about 120 million blood transfusions are donated every year. But about 100 million blood units are in shortage around the world because of either inadequate or insufficient ability to supply the blood in many areas. So many people die because of blood loss and because of insufficient or inadequate blood. And these shortages that are chronic in many low-income regions around the world, and people suffer from them constantly. The high-income regions suffered from these shortages a lot during the pandemic, because people were reluctant of going and donating blood. And there were widespread shortages. People, surgery were canceled. And I think now many people are much more aware of the need. So blood is essential. The only source today for blood is from donors. And it's currently not a sustainable model. And we have to change that. And that's what we're here to do.
Okay, so let's talk about you. What's your background? Did you wake up one morning, realize the problem, and say, I'm going to figure out how to tackle this and see if I could fix it? Or have you sort of been in this space, this medical space, perhaps the red blood cell space for a long time? Where did this even come from?
Yeah, well, I actually had the idea one time when I woke up at night one time, but the process of getting the idea was very long. And it started maybe 30 years ago in 1990. I went paragliding and I was wounded. I blew up my two lungs and I lost an awful lot of blood. I had field surgery, and the doctor that came in the helicopter gave me a blood transfusion, which saved my life. Experience of waking up in the hospital, in the helicopter, and understanding that I have a blood transfusion in my body from a different person, potentially with his diseases or that person's history, triggered thoughts. And it was hanging in there, but only many years later. I'm in the biotech industry since the year 2000, after I completed my studies in the university, my PhD. And after many years of studying different technologies, I've learned about a technology that allows to produce target cells from stem cells, specifically a technology that's spun out of the Technion in Israel. That's like Israel's MIT. And this technology allows to take stem cells from a specific donated source, somatic cells from people that gave their consent to it, and produce any human target cell. And then suddenly I understood we could take these stem cells and produce red blood cells. Very quickly, I understood that I'm not the first one to think about it, but the technology that we're using has the best potential to industrialize this process and really solve the problem of supplying blood to the world.
And how far are you in the process? Meaning it's done and you can actually now try to scale it, or is it not yet done?
So we have a process that we take the stem cells and produce red blood cells, and we're scaling the process up. This is a process that takes time. The scale up is costly. It takes time. The idea is to achieve red blood cells at the highest quality, at a quality that can be injected, and produce it at a scale and in a process that we could show can be indefinitely scaled up after. The idea in the end is to have a process that could be that could reach economy of scale, meaning that we could produce these red blood cells and produce them at a quality that and safety measures and of course, at a cost that will compete with the cost of a blood transfusion that came from a donated source.
So I want to get to cost, because that obviously is really important. I don't want to say if you're successful. Let's say when you're successful, God willing. Mm-hmm. Do you envision this being a significant savings, meaning there's the obvious, there's not enough blood, so there's a real reason to do it, even if it's more expensive, but is there an added benefit that this will be less costly, and if so, how much less costly than donor-given blood?
Right. I think the aspect of cost is complex. So there's the exact, if the Excel sheet where you put the cost on one side and what we will sell the blood for on the other side, and you could see the benefit or target. A blood transfusion today in the United States and a very similar cost in Europe is about $200. And this, the cost is actually the cost of taking a blood that was given voluntarily by a person. And the cost is mostly testing the blood, all of the logistics of taking the blood and moving it and packing it and sending it to the hospital.
And the orange juice, the orange juice they make you drink after, right?
Right. Yeah, and the cookie. But this is not the only cost that is added to the blood transfusion, because other than when a person receives a blood transfusion in an urgent way, people get transfusions like for surgery, and a person that goes to surgery may receive multiple blood transfusions from multiple donors. And each one of these blood transfusions has to be cross-matched to make sure that it fits the donor and it's not rejected, because a blood transfusion, other than the fact that we have a type, can be rejected because of all kinds of blood residuals that occur in the transfusion. And there's additional costs that could come up to $400 and even higher. So a blood transfusion isn't only $200. It can be up to $600, and sometimes it's reported even more. Our target is to produce the blood transfusion at a cost of about $50. So we'll be saving a lot of money on all of the tests. And of course, we won't only be profitable, it will be very humanitarian, and we'll be saving a lot of lives. But the blood transfusion itself will have many advantages. One of them is that because we're producing the blood transfusion from stem cells, we choose the type and the characteristics of the blood that will produce by using a stem cell that came from a donor that has the widest applicability or compatibility to humans. And these kind of donors, you could call them like universal donors. They're not only O negative, but they have an even more special characteristic to them. And because we're manufacturing in a very controlled process, very clean process, the product will, of course, be with no pathogens, no diseases, will not have any residual blood components. The physician who will give the blood knows exactly how many blood cells he's giving the patient. And this will be calibrated in each and every blood. And the most important thing is that it's donor-free. It will be a pharmaceutical, it will be a commodity, and we won't have to depend anymore on the goodwill and of the donors. The production will but not be affected by holidays, by bad weather, by pandemics, by catastrophes. It will produce according to a forecast produce according to demand, and of course produce with surplus that could serve if there are catastrophes and or any extreme needs. And my vision or my hope is that we'll be able to move around all of the surplus and send it to places of need and help alleviate the really severe shortages around the world.
So that brings up the supply chain, right? People didn't pay much attention to supply chain prior to COVID. Now, maybe the discussion has tapered off slightly, but we certainly went through over 2 years of major, major supply chain issues. Are you building into your concept, your business model, making sure that the supply chain is as disruptive-free as possible? Is that even possible?
Yeah, well, for the raw materials that we'll need to produce, that is a challenge. And the challenge is to build infrastructure that will allow to overcome that. On the geographical level, Red Sea Biotech's vision is that we'll have production sites all over the world. Every region will have one or several production sites that will make sure that every population, every region has its own blood capacity supply. For different reasons, one of them is because we have different regulatory systems around the world. You have the FDA, the EMEA, the PMDA. Every country and every region has its requirements, and the production has to be under those regulatory systems. The other reason is so that you will be in a logistic distance from hospitals, and hospitals are the main user other than the patients that receive the blood. The hospitals are the customers. And we want to be in the distance so that it will not be an ecological burden or a logistic nightmare in order to bring the blood and make sure that you have a constant supply of blood everywhere and all the time.
Are there any objections to this? Meaning, assume the technology ends up being successful as you've done it and you deal with the supply chain and other technical problems. Are there people who may say, here's why this is a bad idea? And if so, are those arguments legitimate?
Well, one objection which I've heard is for the use of stem cells, which is back maybe 20 years ago when people brought up the point of using stem cells. A lot of the technologies, a lot of the science around it was based on embryonic stem cells, which are controversial. And of course, we're not building on that kind of a source for the stem cells. First of all, the stem cells will be taken from one donor whose blood type will fit most of humanity. And this is a one-time process.
Does that person have to be named Adam?
You could call him Adam. That may be a good...
Or Eve.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That could be a very good name for that father or mother of all donors. But of course, the technology that we're using means that the donor will give his consent. And probably this donor will also enjoy the blood transfusions because these specific kinds of donors are people that also cannot receive donations easily because their blood is so good for everybody, but they could accept only specific ones. So first of all, the point of embryonic stem cells is out. And of course, the source of the stem cells will be done in the best manner. Another point is that the blood transfusion agencies have many employees and people that do really holy work, very important. And at this point, there's no substitution to what they're doing. And this industry will change. The way blood is supplied will change. But first of all, it will be to the good of the patients. And second, it won't happen in one day. This is something that will happen gradually. The development, the regulatory approvals, the building of the production sites around the world, and the vamp up of the production, all of these will take a lot of time and will allow to organize the supply agencies differently. And in the end, I'm not sure that we'll be able also to provide every blood type or every need that there is. Just like organs and the printing of organs is not going to happen tomorrow afternoon, we'll have to, all of these things will happen in time, and we'll have plenty of time to get organized for them.
I have no medical background, so this question may be silly or naive, but I'll just ask it anyway. In theory, let's say somebody has some sort of blood issue, high sugar, some other problem with their blood. Can you literally replace, in theory, the person's blood in their entire body, and that would get rid of that problem? Or might the problem reappear, high sugar being one of the examples, because you might clean them out for a day or a week or a month, but the reason for the high sugar will just move back into the new blood.
Right. So we're focusing on red blood cells. Red blood cells are only one component, a very big component. Perhaps numerically, they're the largest cell population in our body, but they're only one component of the blood. Blood has also platelets, has all the white blood cells that have to do with the immune system, the plasma that contains antibodies and albumin and many, many other factors that go through the blood and carry nourishment. So we're focusing only on the red blood cells. It's big enough a challenge as it is. And replacing the red blood cells is done, all or the addition of red blood cells is done for specific medical treatments. A vision is one day to produce an artificially produced whole blood, because the red blood cells alone solve the oxygen carrying capacity. But for example, when a person goes to an operation, they sometimes get a cocktail of red blood cells, platelets, and plasma. If we'll be able to, perhaps other companies that are developing platelet production, other companies that may be able to artificially produce the plasma, we can compose an artificial whole blood product, which will be much more beneficial or have therapeutic abilities for patients. But that's also long ahead.
Where'd you get the name Red Sea? Obviously, you're in the region of the Red Sea. Was that you woke up one day and said, that's what I want to name it? Or is there a connection to what you do?
Well, Red Sea stands for the cells. So it was a kind of a
play on words.
Word game that has context to where Red Sea originates from, here in Israel, the Middle East, and red cells.
Last question. What you're doing is inspiring. You know, it's sort of breathtaking,
Thank
the
you.
Idea. What's your message to people who want to help change the world with something dramatic? What's your, what advice can you give them when they wake up in the morning and they think, oh, it's too hard, it's too impossible? Because what you're working on seems pretty hard and pretty impossible, yet you're doing it. What do you tell them?
Well, one thing is being thankful to your environment, to people that inspired you to come to this point and to be able to do this kind of a contribution. But Also, it requires tons and tons of patience and persistence. And I think I think those are the important parts of being in this position. I think that would be it.
Ari Gargir, thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing. I wish you tremendous luck and success on this enormous project that the world, all of humanity, could benefit from. So thank you also for being a guest on The Diplomat.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was fascinating. A little science fiction meets modern day reality. Ari and I discussed the global shortage of blood supply, the complexity of the supply chain, safety concerns, availability, cost, and lots more. It's going to be really interesting to see how this develops. Hey, listeners, if you didn't pick up a copy of my book, In the Path of Abraham, now's the time. Thankfully, it's gotten some great reviews. Go to Amazon and search my name, or search In the Path of Abraham, or go to inthepathofabraham.com and order it from there. It's an insider's perspective on how the Abraham Accords were concluded and why they offer a way forward to a new era of peace and prosperity in the Middle East. If you're interested in today's Middle East, this is the book for you. Thanks for listening. I'm Jason Greenblatt. This is The Diplomat, brought to you by Newsweek.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of plan, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.